In this new segment of Advisor Revelations, the DPL team will discuss how to evaluate new solutions and address current challenges and the strategies that can help you grow your firm and AUM.
Welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast. My name is Blake Phillips. I'm the Regional Vice President of Member Success here at DPL Financial Partners. Today, we will discuss why RIAs are embracing annuities. First, I would like to introduce our guest, who is a fellow Regional Vice President of Member Success here at DPL, Jackson Bradley. Jackson, thanks for taking the time to join today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
Yeah, of course. Before we start our discussion today, I want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming app for updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to contact a DPL consultant or go to our website, dplfp.com. Jackson, before we get started, will you give our listeners a chance to get to know you a little bit better? Maybe share a little bit about yourself more and what you do here specifically at DPL.
Yeah, sure. So career-wise, I started on the annuity desk at Lincoln as an inbound sales rep, made my way to internal there, ended up as an internal at DPL about 3 years ago. And then after a year in that capacity, was promoted to regional vice president. So been in that position for about 2 years now. So, you know, with that as regional vice president, we definitely put our consultant hat on from time to time, talking with advisors, helping them understand annuity cases, annuity products, just the general landscape. But as an RVP, we kind of take a more holistic approach to our territory. So we assist members with the onboarding process and coming on, what do we have to offer? And then kind of delegating out to our internal consultants to help with specific annuity cases. And then as of this year, Blake, as you know, we've taken a real hard approach to enterprise firms and trying to bring on some of those bigger RIAs that really have annuity needs that haven't been met yet. So it's been really exciting to get into a more C-suite facing conversation. And yeah.
Awesome. No, I appreciate it, Jackson. Excited to get into our topic for the podcast. And before we do so, just want to thank you again for the time. And I'm excited to kind of take a deeper dive into your time at DPL and how that's affected your conversations with helping promote advisory annuities where they make sense inside RIAs. So let's get started here. Goldman Sachs recently did release an annual survey, insurance and annuity carriers, and there was a really big takeaway for us in the industry. For the first time, insurers are actually ranking RIAs as their top growth channel for annuities, which is pretty mind-blowing. So, you know, we all feel here at DPL, we've been a big part of making that happen, thinking about really our work with larger enterprise firms, members. I can point to a couple of instances where I'm like, wow, that really was a big change for how they did business in the past. And it's definitely driving annuity sales towards RIAs. But just off the top of your head, what do you think is personally driving this momentous change and how RIAs are viewing and implementing annuities on the advisory side?
Yeah, so I was reflecting on this question and I kind of drilled it down to three main points of why I personally think from my experiences here, we've seen an uptick in sales. And so the first I would say is naturally RIAs that have broken away from broker dealers. And so with that, they're always going to have some sort of annuity asset amount that was at the broker dealer and they need to find a solution on this side. And so, you know, we've obviously come out with the Breakaway Accelerator program, which we've marketed heavily, which I think has been a huge success in helping advisors take a look at their annuity book and recommend if there's a 1035 exchange, recommend that to better help the client outcome, but also bring those assets under the advisor's AUM in the RIA capacity. But then two, we have agent of record services. So if there isn't a suitable option for the client to move into once that advisor breaks away, DPL can take over as agent of record. So with the uptick in sole RIAs leaving that broker dealer behind, naturally, there's going to be an inflow of advisory assets in the annuity space. So that's one, just the natural breaking away. Mm-hmm. Two, I would say I've seen this with quite a few firms that I work with now. There does seem to be more of an overarching presence from FINRA or whatever body it is. There's audits out there where these financial entities want to make sure that RIAs are fulfilling their fiduciary duty by managing these assets, whether they're advisory assets or commissionable assets that are kind of sitting held away. And so by utilizing a firm like DPL to consult on those assets, naturally 1035s are going to occur, which creates just more of an inflow of those monies into the advisory annuity space, which those products we obviously offer. So that would be number two, is just trying to be a full just fiduciary in every capacity, even for those annuity assets that aren't historically viewed as RIA friendly types of money. And then three, I would say just the natural growth of advisory products as the space grows. So the original low cost VA advisory contract, where it's low cost, you can manage the sub accounts, you can bill it as an advisor, that's about it. A lot of these products have grown up and they've become really dynamic part of a client's portfolio, more than just an annuity rescue. So I think by adding on features like liquid options with income and more creative investment strategies, I think that that's caught the eyes of advisors in the RIA space and led them to invest their clients more confidently into annuity assets.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And I like your 3 points there. So what I'm really hearing you say here, Jackson, is that there's a big opportunity in the market. Firms are growing right now. They're acquiring new firms. Firms are also really wanting to act in a fiduciary capacity. Not that they weren't prior, but now there really is the means to do so with a firm like DPL. And products are really reshaping themselves into becoming options. Before, maybe there was one or two just low-cost options. But as you stated, now there really are some strong income products or strong risk management or principal protection solutions to consider for your clients. So it's really not just a, oh no, we have to use an annuity, but more of a, hey, this is a very integral part of the planning process. And DPL really makes that easier. So on that note, I wanted to move on to the next question here. So part of that survey from Goldman, it also pointed out that some of the carriers are really rethinking their annuity products, as you mentioned, to better address what consumers are genuinely worried about. Things like market volatility, outliving their savings, staying engaged with their investments. So from your vantage point, and you know, speaking on behalf of DPL here, and you hit on it a little bit, but just take a little bit of a deeper dive. What do you believe is driving the shift in mindset for the carriers and the clients moving away from just cookie cutter approaches and into these more personalized products to help advisors and clients be act in fiduciary capacities?
Yeah, I think there's two things at work here. And like you said, I kind of hit on it at the start. But one, I guess I'll start with, one would be insurance carriers investing in the advisory side. And by investing, I mean in manpower and, you know, skilled people that really understand how to deliver those messages. Because I remember back when I was on my original annuity desk outside of DPL, the advisory space was kind of foreign. There was like a couple people on that desk. And I don't really think that the resources were there to be able to spread the message of advisory annuities. And so I think now you see all the insurance carriers that we partner with investing heavily into wholesalers. I mean, you can call them wholesalers as they are traditionally, but they're really consultants for RIAs to help spread the message about product improvements and abiding to a fiduciary standard. I think that that's super important. And so just more awareness in general as a result. But then two would be firms like DPL. I think that we've done a really good job of not just offering products, but offering consultative services to these RIAs, because it's funny, like RIAs, they left the broker-dealer world to get away from the selling and the, you know, they just want to be true fiduciaries and not want to pivot any which way. But with a platform like DPL, where sometimes the right answer is that an annuity isn't the fit for the client, and we'll tell you that up front. And that's, it's kind of a unique answer from an annuity shop. But I think that advisors trying to abide by a fiduciary standard, in one sense, they also are kind of obligated to hear us out on the best option for their client. So if they consult us, like maybe they've never written an annuity before and they're a true just one-man shop RIA, never touched an annuity, never was registered with a broker dealer, but to be able to perfectly fit the client's financial plan, they need to exhaust all options and truly understand what the best outcome is for the client. And in many cases, that is an annuity for a client that's approaching retirement or in retirement and looking to fulfill an income gap. So I would say ultimately two things. It's one is advisors really looking to fulfill that fiduciary standard, and two, investments into insurance carriers where they can now spread the word better and obviously invest in platforms like DPL as well. You know, we have a lot of strong partnerships with insurance carriers and we're all working towards that same mission.
No, really like that answer. And I'm going to add one thing on top of that for the listeners out there, in addition to what Jackson said, kind of putting those two together with a third point, is that in times past, even maybe a few years ago, there were some great fee-based advisory solutions out there, but maybe it added 4 or 5 extra days of planning process to the advisor's day, which some advisors did go through, but it is pretty challenging for advisors to scale their practice and grow when they had to put that type of research in, call 15 different insurance carriers and companies and learn about each product and the pros and the cons, as to where now through DPL software, through our DPL Everywhere advisor portal, as Jackson knows very well, an advisor can go in with a client goal that they're trying to solve for. And then under a minute, they're able to find, hey, there's a product that really fits what you're looking to do. Or as he said, which I loved, is, hey, maybe you're in the best possible solution currently. And we're more than willing to tell you that. We want to serve you so you can serve your clients. So that's really what it boils down to. And that wouldn't be possible without insurance carriers and how they've invested in the market, as Jackson alluded to as well. So I think that's great. I'm really excited to see, you know, what happens over the next few years as well, and how this space gets even more user-friendly and robust with offerings. So moving on to another question here, just a little deeper dive into the survey. About 77% of respondents ranked selling more RILAs. So for those not familiar, we'll go into that in a second, but that's a registered index linked annuity, as a top priority for their business. So that has been one of the fastest growing annuity spaces in advisory and retail channels. And so what a RILA does, it allows consumers to invest in financial markets while providing some downside protection against market volatility. I'll let Jackson kind of explain what a RILA is versus just a regular variable annuity or a fixed index annuity. But the main question here is just, with your work with advisors and our members, why have you seen RILAs taken off in the last couple of years?
Yeah, so just high level overview of what a RILA is. It's some form of a buffer on the downside for the client. The insurance carrier is going to incur X percent of losses. And then as a risk trade-off, you get X amount of upside based on how much risk you're willing to take on. So very equity linked and easily manageable by RIAs. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why it's got so much steam, because I've found that versus the broker-dealer commissionable side, RIAs really like to have their hands on the investment and be able to track the investment, track its performance, make the according changes based on a client's change in risk tolerance or whatever it may be. These are just easily manageable products and very, very customizable to a client. It's not a one size fits all, in the sense that you're not just going to drop 5 different clients into the same allocation. Maybe you want to blend between the 10 and 20% buffer, or blend between different indices based on, you know, maybe one client wants to invest more internationally and one wants to stay domestic. So I think that the customization of those products has been really integral to the growth of the market. But also, I would say the creativity that these insurance carriers have with their products has really allowed them to catch steam as well. I would say, like, kind of conflated with the rise in alternative investments that we've seen in the general financial industry, we like to position these specific products as a sort of alt, and obviously much different than private credit or whatever alternative investment that you invest in. But when we say alternative investment, we are looking for positive returns in a negative market. So we're looking for non-market correlated returns. And there's quite a few options within these products that allows for that, which I think is really cool. And advisors have responded really well to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can speak to that as well. Yeah, RILAs kind of fit in the middle of the risk profile of a variable product and a fixed index product. And honestly, most advisors we partner with are utilizing these as fixed income alternatives, right? Because they are usually not correlated. In a down market, you may be able to get a positive return from a couple different carriers, and they are continuing to make some excellent strides in that space, whether if it's more robust income riders from a few carriers or really just transparency. So the thing about RILAs and really fixed index products as well, the reason they have seen a lot of growth is because, contrary to popular belief, just like a lot of different fee-based products, they are going to be low or no fee outside of an advisory fee. And we say explicit fees because the insurance company is setting their spreads and fees from the cap rates or offered guaranteed rates on those products. So definitely reach out to DPL if you're curious about those. We've had a lot of advisors have some great success with clients to where, you know, in the choppy, volatile markets that we've had and may have in the next few years, they've been a great tool to have in the toolkit when you're having client conversations and when you're having those planning meetings to give peace of mind, but without taking too many gains off the table. Let's move into one of our last questions here. Just kind of building on that a little bit. So given the significant shift we're seeing towards annuities, RILAs, you name it, specifically what kind of support and resources and technology does DPL provide to advisors to ensure that they can confidently and efficiently offer RILAs and other products within a fiduciary framework scalably?
Yeah, I think that we've done a great job of building out our infrastructure to be able to better educate advisors on RILAs, but just on annuities in general. But from the RILA standpoint, I guess I would say number one, more than anything, is if you reach out to your DPL consultant, our job is to be experts on these products. And so number one thing is reach out to them, ask the right questions. We're willing to answer. That's exactly why we're here and why you are a member at DPL to have access to us. But on top of that, we have invested heavily into our online platform where we have 8-10 different discovery tools where you can find a product within the parameters of your specific client that you're thinking about. And I think those tools are really good because you can compare the product to a fixed income portfolio. You can compare the product versus other products on the platform. Some of the RILAs, Blake, as you know, have income riders, and then they can actually be utilized as, you know, a buffered note with an income rider, which I think is a really, really cool story to tell a client because you're mitigating risk while also getting those guarantees. So I would say, you know, one, your consultant, two, the DPL portal, three, I've had a lot of success with a marketing piece that we finalized, I believe it was like mid-year last year. It's called our Protected Growth Guide, which is a long form piece. If, you know, you're a person that likes to dive into the weeds, I think it's the perfect, you know, PDF, maybe 15, 20 pages to really understand the messaging that we're trying to bring to the table regarding these products. I think that it's really important to just, you know, even just skim over and understand that we are looking for better alternatives than your standard bond portfolio. And the protected growth solutions that we have on our platform can really, really outperform that type of strategy. So,
awesome. Yeah, really appreciate that. And on that note too, with that long form piece, the protected growth guide, we also have a retirement income planning guide. We're happy, Jackson, myself, any of our DPL colleagues, we're always happy. If your firm has not received education on those materials or products yet, we have a lot of firms that just reach out. They want to learn more to see if it could fit in their practice to help their clients and their practice. Please reach out. Please do so. We're happy to deliver that in a Zoom or Teams format. With that, Jackson, really appreciate your time. Thanks again for joining, being a great partner and colleague. And, you know, with that, if there's not anything else, I will we'll let you go. But thank you again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd just like to end it with, if you're someone that doesn't use annuities or maybe have some sort of annuity bias, which is people that we come across often and no fault to them. But I just want to highlight the exciting changes that are happening in this industry, because we're really working hard over here to reframe the word annuity to these advisors. And there are so many different tech updates and product updates that can really help these products fit into a client's portfolio. And I just think the stigma around these types of products is changing, but needs to change even more. So we're excited to be doing that over here.
Yeah, absolutely. Could not have said that better myself. I appreciate you. You're framing that for us well. And Jackson's right that the stigma, you know, still exists in some circles. So please reach out. Would love to have the opportunity to teach you guys, learn a little bit how you view annuities, and then give you some feedback on really how annuities stand in the market today, based off what we talked about and some other features as well that we didn't even have time to cover today. So with that, thanks again, Jackson. Thanks everyone for being on with us today. Again, please connect with DPL by reaching out directly through our website. It's dplfp.com. And make sure you subscribe for more episodes anywhere you listen to your podcast. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.